As Pastor John mentioned, today we are launching a new sermon series on the book of Deuteronomy. Why did I pick this book? Because during my leave of absence from May to July, I prayed this prayer. Lord, our church has just celebrated our 65th anniversary. Which Bible book should we preach on as we enter into our 66th year? The Lord answered my prayer by using Deuteronomy to impress upon my heart. The more I reread the entire book, the more I realized that Deuteronomy is not merely about the past history, but also the future. As we think of FCBC's past history, there's indeed so much we have learned. But I really believe FCBC can become brighter in the future if we can observe all the principles we learn from the book of Deuteronomy. For this reason, after I return from my leave of absence, I share this thought with the rest of our preachers. Their support confirmed that this should be the preaching direction for the next 5 months. With that said, let us pray together now and ask God to bless this sermon series. Shall we pray? Father, our prayer is that we will be able to behold more of your glory as we enter into this new sermon series. Our objective is not to see man's glory. Our objective is to seek after your glory. God, use every week's preaching from this pulpit on this book to speak to us individually and collectively. Lord, we pray that the Spirit of God will move in a wonderful way, in a personal way, in a convicting way. May we always hear voices from above. Every week when we open up the book of Deuteronomy, every time when we open this book at our own leisure, in our own Bible reading time, Lord, may you speak to us. May the Holy Spirit translate what we hear into actions. We want to dedicate this opening sermon into your gracious hands. God, we ask that you will lead us forward. We pray that as a result of the preaching today and the next 5 months, our lives will become different. We will become more Christ-like. We can become children that can be pleasing in your sight. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Imagine a very old preacher about to repeat one of his same old and long sermons. Do you think it would be very appealing to the audience? Probably not. Similarly, when we look at the book of Deuteronomy, we realize this old preacher, Moses, he was already 120 years old. When he preached these sermons, we realized that most of the contents were not new. Most of the contents, when we took the first glance, most of the contents were basically given, they were already given in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. Therefore, some may think that Deuteronomy is not relevant to us today. But as you study this book more, the more you will discover that Deuteronomy is still very relevant to us today. Let me give you two examples. First, you cannot fully understand New Testament without reading Deuteronomy. Because Deuteronomy is one of the top three most quoted Old Testament books in New Testament according to the Bible Concordance. If you use the concordance, you realize that a lot of sayings, a lot of verses in New Testament were quoted directly from the book of Deuteronomy. Now, if you look at this comparison, you realize, like the book of Hosea, some verses from the book of Hosea were quoted 5 times in New Testament, Jeremiah, Zechariah, and so forth. But the top 3 books that were most quoted in New Testament are Deuteronomy, Isaiah, and the book of Psalms. When you read Deuteronomy, when you read a lot of verses in New Testament, you realize that there are as many as 44 times. In order to understand New Testament better, we've got to go back to the book of Deuteronomy. That enables us to understand New Testament better. So there is a tremendous value. It's not irrelevant to us. It is relevant to us. Second example I'd like to share with you is number 2. Deuteronomy gives us principles on how to live a victorious Christian life today. A great example can be found from the temptations Jesus faced in the wilderness. 3 times, Satan tempted Jesus there. How did Jesus overcome Satan's temptation? By quoting from the book of Deuteronomy. Satan said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread." Jesus responded by quoting directly from Deuteronomy. "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then devil took Jesus into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of Man, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down." Jesus again quoted from the book of Deuteronomy directly and said, "It is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to test." For the 3rd time, Satan tempted Jesus. He took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Jesus again quoted from the book of Deuteronomy directly. He said these words, "And all these things," Jesus said these words, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." By the way, did you realize loving God and serving, worshiping God and serving God, they are effective ways to fight against materialism? If you have children who very much in the world, influenced by affluence of this world and worldliness, materialism, pray in a different way. Pray that your children will not stop worshiping God and serving him, because these are ways to counter Satan's temptation in the area of materialism. Anyways, when we come back to this text, we again are reminded that Jesus quoted directly from the book of Deuteronomy. So perhaps you have never read the entire book of Deuteronomy. I trust that these examples will motivate you to read the whole book this year as we go through our sermon series. Going back to these temptations, remember in Matthew 4, after these encounter with Satan, and immediately in verse 11, we read this, "Then the devil left him." So these are very effective ways to overcome Satan's temptations. They are extremely relevant. Deuteronomy is extremely relevant to us today. With that said, let me first of all unpack the background of the book before I go to the theme verse of our series. The setting of the book was a time when the Israelites were on the verge of entering the promised land that had been promised centuries earlier to their forefathers. Talking about their forefathers, let us look at a few maps to understand the geographical backgrounds of their forefathers' journey. They left Egypt and go south. And then they went to a place called Mount Sinai. And that was a place where Moses received the Ten Commandments. As a matter of fact, they stayed there for a year. And then you realize when you look at the map, the Israelites moved from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea in 11 days. It only took them 11 days. It was there the 12 spies were sent to collect information on the promised land. When you look at the third map, you understand the first generation was actually very close to entering the promised land, but unfortunately, they made a wrong choice. They chose to believe what the 10 fearful and disbelieving spies, and instead of trusting the Lord, as the remaining two spies had encouraged them to do. As a result, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years before occupying the promised land. If you look at the distance between Kadesh Barnea and Canaan, it's only a short distance. However, they did not listen to God. They did not trust him. They trust in man rather than God's promise. As a result, they wandered in the wilderness for many years. Now the first generation of Israelites who came out of Egypt had passed away. The children who had left Egypt were now adults and ready to conquer the promised land. Before they enter into the promised land, the Lord used Moses to give them a pep talk. The entire pep talk could be summarized in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, which is our theme verse for this series. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. According to the context, the word life, if you pay attention to the last part of verse 20, according to this following verse, according to this context, the word life refers to the blessed life that God has promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is faithful to the covenants he made with the patriarchs. He desired his people to enjoy a blessed life in the promised land rather than wandering around in the wilderness. However, the previous generation made a wrong choice by believing to the 10 spies' report, even though they had already seen the work of God. I really like Psalm 95 because it is very straightforward. In Psalm 95, verses 9 and 10 says this: "When your fathers tested me, they tried me. Though they had seen my work for 40 years, I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who err in their heart, and they do not know my ways." The forefathers did not choose correctly, even though they had already seen the work of God. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 1, the beginning of the book, the entire book, has already stated the fact that they had seen God's wonderful work. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 30 to 33. "The Lord your God, who goes before you with himself, fight on your behalf, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord God carry you, just as a man carries his son, in all the way which you have walked until you came to this place. But for all this, You did not trust the Lord your God, who goes before you on your way to seek out a place for you to encamp in fire by night and cloud by day to show you the way in which you should go. The words that are highlighted basically summarize what they had seen with their eyes. They did not receive information second-handedly. They witnessed God's miraculous power over and over again. Fight on your behalf. They had seen how God fought the Egyptians and defeated Sihon, the king of the Amorites, and Og, the king of Bashan. All these were enemies that outnumbered the Israelites, and from a human standpoint, there was no way that the Israelites could overcome them with their own strength. But God fought for them. Not only that, notice the words said, "How the Lord your God carried you." The Israelites had also seen how God miraculously provided them food when they were hungry and water when they were thirsty after they left Egypt. To show you the way tells us that they had seen how God directed their path by fire at night and cloud by day. So the first generation had indeed seen the work of God, and yet they still make wrong choices. Dear brothers and sisters, we are no different from the Israelites. God desires us to choose right to obtain a blessed life from Him, but we are prone to choosing wrong, even though we have already seen the work of God. As a result, we suffer much loss and end up wasting a lot of time in the wilderness. When I was a freshman in Bible college in Canada, I only had enough money to pay for my first semester's tuition. Shortly before the end of the first semester, I received a letter from an anonymous brother. In the letter, he simply said, "Benny, I just received a refund from my insurance company very unexpectedly, and I believe the check attached was God's provision for your next semester tuition. The amount was sufficient for my entire tuition for the second semester. I could not hold back my tears when I look at this letter and check. I had not told anyone that I needed money for my second semester. I truly saw the work of God. God moved in a sovereign way to provide my needs. As I entered the second semester, all freshmen were required to run a mile a day, and it was to be recorded on a timesheet based on an honor system. For the first few weeks, I did well. I could keep up the assignment and ran 1 mile every day. Now, keep in mind, running a mile a day in Canada is different than running a mile a day in Southern California. It was winter at the time. However, I was able to keep up at least for the first 2 weeks. A week later, as I got busier with my studies, I began to skip my daily run. Initially, I skipped 1 to 2 days a week. Soon, I skipped the entire week. Subsequently, you know what happened? I stopped running entirely. By the end of the semester, we were to submit our timesheet. I made a wrong choice by cheating. I put a check mark every day to pretend that I had kept up my daily run. I was already a Christian. I also responded to God's calling to the ministry. I was preparing myself for ministry. I saw the hands of God. I witnessed, you know, God's wonderful provision for my tuition. And yet I made a wrong choice. The Holy Spirit kept on rebuking me day after day to the point that I had absolutely no peace in my heart. Finally, I had the courage to confess to my dean and ask for forgiveness. That summer, I had to pay the consequences of my cheating. I had to make up all the missed runs. I ended up using a lot of my summer hours for running, and it affected my summer plan adversely in many ways. I truly regretted of the wrong choice I made. Now, dear brothers and sisters, the point I'm trying to get across is simply this. We are still prone to making bad choices even though we have seen or experienced God's wonderful work. Perhaps yesterday you experienced God's protection or provision in a wonderful way, and it's entirely possible for you to make wrong choices today because we are prone to make wrong choices even though we have experienced God's wonderful work. That's why God's reminder to the Israelites is also a great reminder to us today. Choose correctly. Don't choose a life that will cause you to waste your time in the wilderness. Now let's look at the how. How do we choose life? How do we obtain a blessed life from God? How do we help future generations to choose correctly? Please look at the verse following our theme verse. I'm referring to chapter 30, verse 20. Now let me reread verse 19. We're trying to answer this question, how do we choose life? This day, I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curse. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice. This is NIV. Underline the word listen, because this is a key word throughout the book of Deuteronomy. Throughout the book of Deuteronomy, we see this word being used 91 times. In Hebrew, it's the word Shema. Now, it's easy to remember. In order to help you to remember the pronunciation of this word, you know, just repeat after me. Go, shh, ma, shema. Great. Now you remember the pronunciation. Shema is the Hebrew word for listen in the book of Deuteronomy, which is a key word to explain the entire book. It means more than just sound waves entering our ears. It also means responding to what you hear. When God asks his people to Shema, it basically means to hear and take action. Moses knew the previous generation had ears, but they did not really Shema. They did not take any action. That was why they were described as the people who had ears but could not hear. So now Moses is giving the new generation a heartfelt talk before entering the promised land. Listen up, folks. If you want to choose life, don't follow the bad example of your parents who listened without taking appropriate action. Translate what you hear from God into action. This is the key message throughout the book of Deuteronomy. Shema, Shema, Shema. Let me share with you a personal story to illustrate how Deuteronomy spoke to me. As I reread Deuteronomy, last month, I was able to reread the entire book once again. But this time, the following verses really stood out to me. First is chapter 15, verses 7 and 8. If there is a poor man with you, one of your brothers, in any of your towns, in your land, which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart, nor close your heart, nor close your hand from your poor brother, but you shall freely open your hand to him and shall generously lend him sufficient for his need in whatever he lacks. It's about helping the poor. Then the second passage. You shall generously give to him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all your undertakings. For the poor will never cease to be in the land. How about that? The poor will never cease to be in the land. Therefore, I command you, saying, you shall freely open your hand to your brother, to the needy and poor in your land. Now, the scriptures clearly command us to care for the poor. This is not new to me personally. But this time, I was reading these verses from the Shema perspective. I asked myself, how should I Shema this command? 2 weeks ago, God answered my prayer. 2 weeks ago, I heard of the pressing need for fresh water in Africa through World Vision. To this day, in Africa, there are still thousands of people who do not have access to clean water. On average, women and children walk 3.5 miles twice a day to draw water because there is no water supply nearby. Many women and underage girls get raped on their way to get water. Children, particularly girls, are out in the street very late at night or early in the morning in search of water, and that makes them to be extremely vulnerable to rape. Even if they can return home safely with water, the water they get is unclean water. This little girl, elementary age, gets water home. If you look at the bucket, the water is so contaminated, so dirty. Look at this picture, same thing. If they can return home safely with water, the water they get is unclean water. As a result, nearly 1,000 children under age 5 die every day from diarrhea caused by contaminated water. A staff member from World Vision introduced me to their annual 6-kilometer walk or run for water projects this upcoming May. As I sat down, as I listened to her sharing, I realized that this is a fundraising project to provide funds to supply clean water to these needy people in Africa. Why 6K? Why 6 kilometers? Because 6 kilometers is the average distance people in Africa are forced to walk to fetch water, which is normally contaminated with disease. On May 19th this year, people from around the globe will walk or run 6K for an extraordinary cause. Every participant will pay a $50 registration fee, but it is well worth the money because the $50 registration fee can provide clean water for one child for life. Initially, I could not believe it. As I talked to the staff one more time, I caught this word, for life. $50. I can provide clean water for one child for life. I said to God, I will. Shema, your instruction in Deuteronomy to help the poor. I will grasp this opportunity. I will grasp this opportunity to sign up for the 6K walk or run because by doing so, I can at least provide clean water for one child in Africa for life. Dear brothers and sisters, the Lord has used Deuteronomy to speak to me. And my prayer is that he will continue to do so as we go through this series. I pray that He will do the same to you. When he speaks, please, Shema, translate into action. May we be reminded the important meaning of Shema. When we truly practice Shema, it will lead us to right choices that will result in a blessed life. This is really the how for the theme Choose Life. In order to help you remember the importance of Shema, please watch this object lesson.
As I mentioned earlier, we are prone to make wrong choices. It doesn't matter how long we have been Christians, we are all like this arrow. We have tendency to make wrong choices in our daily living. However, today we learn of this Hebrew word, Shema, which means listening plus putting things into action. When we listen to the voice of God, when we listen to what he says in the book of Deuteronomy and translate everything we hear into action, see what happened. The arrow will lead us to the right path, making right choices. Please remember this.
By the way, no copyright, use it. The point I want to get across is simply this. We have heard so many teachings every year. Those of you who have been Christians for a long time, you grew up here in FCBC, you must have heard hundreds of sermons and perhaps thousands of lessons before. I'd like to challenge you to focus on the word Shema. If you do not translate what you hear into action, we will be no different than the Israelites, the first generation Israelites. We will be continuing making wrong choices. We will continue to miss our mark. We cannot enjoy the blessed life God has intended for us. Shema, Shema, Shema. May we remember this word as we go through this sermon series. Let us pray.